now listening to the Dreaming of Freedom podcast on the 2 Cents FC Network.
All right, welcome back to the Dreaming of Freedom podcast, where we talk about all things black soccer in MLS. I'm Jermaine.
I'm Callie.
And I'm AD.
And we are members of Black Herons United, an independent black supporters group for Inter Miami and all things black soccer in South Florida.
For episode 21, we've got some things to talk about, and let's just say it's getting messy.
Hey, all right, y'all. So listen, if you didn't know, MLS is currently on a break for the League's Cup. And as the Dreaming of Freedom podcast, we wanted to take a nice little vacation, a nice little break from the madness. But the racists wouldn't allow us to do that. So before we get to that, we definitely wanted to start off with Messi's debut, historic introduction to Inter Miami on Friday. Of course, as we just mentioned, with the League's Cup. Wow. AD, I know you were there, brother, witnessing greatness firsthand. What were your thoughts, man?
Well, first off, the immediate impact was the amount of people that were there. It was exponential.
Bruh, it was wild, bro. Like, I mean, I started in my row. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the game, I'm in the stairs, bro. Like, how did I end up out of my row? I don't even understand what's happening. Like, so the people were bananas. I mean, just the atmosphere, the environment was just incredible. Almost overwhelming at times, but just still incredible. I mean, Callie, I know you watched the game. Listen, when Messi steps on the pitch, for me, it was just evident that this man is the greatest player, at least on the pitch. Obviously, we know his status throughout the world, but on the pitch, bro, it just clearly was obvious that this man was the best player. Callie, what do you think?
Yeah, so I turned a profit for this game. I didn't. I had a ticket. Someone offered me more money than I could say no to at the time. So I sold it, and I was happy. I was really happy about that decision until, like, hours leading up. I'm like, god damn, like, I'm seeing all the pictures at the tailgate, everyone's having a great time, you know. And then you can hear it through the TV, and whatever. I was watching the game and it was fine. I went to a bar with some friends, and you know, we're there watching and everyone's pretty calm or whatever, and then every now and then, like, the camera would pan to Messi and people would, like, clap and stuff like that. But man, when Messi was coming on, I mean, I know it doesn't compare to stadium vibes because nothing compares to that, but the entire bar, and this is a big bar, it's a franchise spot. It was, dude, it was people up screaming, clapping, chanting his name, this and that. And he came on, and then instantly, without question, I'm sitting there with my buddy, and, you know, I've coached soccer and I've watched it a lot and stuff like that. My buddy I was with, like, he watched it too, and then there was his friend that was there, and he's like, he's really good. I'm like, yeah, that guy's, I mean, it was without question, he was far and away the best player on the pitch without playing for a month. You know, just came on, played for, what was it, probably about 35 minutes or so, and far and away the best player on the pitch. Every time he touched the ball, was absolutely electric. And then we all saw how it ended, and dude, I had never, like, I'm a very, if you know me and if you've met me, I'm a very calm, reserved person. I don't jump. I don't scream. I don't get very loud. Even at the stadium, like, I'll be there, I'll clap, you know, sing a little bit like that. A big goal, like, I'll just, like, you know, turn to someone, high five. I got up and I started screaming. Like, it was written in the stars, man. It's like, you could not script it better than that. He lined up for that free kick and I turned to my buddy, like, he's going to bury this. And he's like, no, bro, that's too Hollywood. I'm like, no, bro, he's going to fucking bury this. And he buried it. I legitimately, in the middle of the bar, I got up and just, oh, my fucking God. It was crazy. It was pandemonium.
And I think everyone, when the foul happened right outside the box, I think everyone had the same reaction, bro. Like, this man is going to end this game for us right now.
This is it, bro.
Like, so yeah. So we were in the stands, in the La Familia section, right behind the goal, which was a perfect place to be during that time. But bro, the stands got so thick and just so overwhelming that I actually had to go down. I'm like, you know what? I can't be up here. So I went down the stairs, and I was literally posted up right behind the goal, bro. And so I'm catching video of this whole, the whole setup, man, putting the ball down, bro. It was a magical moment, bro. He scores a goal, and I just end up hugging like three or four random different people that I've never met before in my life. I'm jumping up and down. We're singing songs, and it's just like, it was just absolute madness, bro. And I mean, Callie, as you said, like, it could, like, the script could not be written any more better, bro. Like, it was just, it was perfect. It was just perfect. And I think this is just, so for the first time, I felt like this could be the moment where two things happen. MLS goes completely global, right? MLS goes international, right? We start to get that international global attention from, you know, obviously European soccer outlets and just international outlets because Messi's here, right? But also because, this could be the moment that America, that the US actually gets behind the sport, like seriously, seriously gets behind the sport, right? We're all local Miami people. So listening to local radio the day after, bro, like I'm listening to Joe Rose on WQAM and they're talking about Messi, bro. Like they have interviews about soccer, like about Inter Miami, bro. Like that has never happened before. So it's just like, it seems like soccer is the closest that has ever been to the major sports of basketball and football, right? It seems like it's finally or almost there simply because this man has joined our team. I don't know. I mean, do y'all have any thoughts on like the impact that Messi and just that game alone, right? Just that moment in itself could have.
Yeah, it's kind of, I was kind of going to piggyback on what you're saying, you know, like I have friends that they make fun of me for being like an Inter Miami fan. Like I was in a group chat over to like earlier today, like they're saying like, oh, all 19 fans of MLS must be pumped that Messi's here and stuff like that. And like, it's all in jest or whatever, like it's all in good fun. But man, for the first time, like I was receiving texts like that night and the next day, like from people that I guess know that I watched, like, bro, that was crazy. Like I'm going through Twitter on my feed and I know you guys are at the game and you're probably not scrolling through social media, but immediately I remember during the game, I was in a chat and obviously live is a little faster than TV. So I had to put my phone down. Like, I'm like, I can't watch this shit. Like, and I, like, I'm telling you 3 seconds before it happened, I just hear my phone just buzzing and vibrating back to back to back to back. I'm like, oh no, something crazy. And yeah, people that I'd never spoken to, people that I followed on Twitter that don't have anything to do with soccer, everyone was talking about it, you know. And even like I have group chats and stuff like that and friends that were texting me like saying like, bro, what did we just see? I'm like, bro, this is history, this is iconic. Like for the first time ever, and I mean this, and this isn't a euphemism, this isn't a hyperbole or anything like that, for the first time ever, all eyes on the planet, more or less, was on MLS. And I hate saying that because the U.S. women were playing and kicking ass too in their World Cup game, and props to them, but there's something about the Messi factor that, you know, it just seemed like everyone on the planet was watching and waiting for this moment right here.
Yeah, bro, that was a big conflict. That was like... like a big internal conflict that was happening the same night, right? Like, damn, the U.S. Women's National Team is literally playing in the World Cup right now, right? But it's just like, I don't know, yo. Like,
what? I had the benefit of the doubt of being in a sports bar, so literally the two TVs that were in front of me, one was a women and one was Messi, and it was like they were like inner, like, you know, they would switch every screen, and this bar had a million of them.
That's perfect.
So I was able to watch, and I'd get excited for, you know, watching Sophia Smith get her brace, almost get a Hattie. And but man, when Messi came up, man, there was just something different about something different in the air, man. And it's like almost like everyone knew it was about to happen. It was so surreal. I can't even put it into words, but, and it was almost healing as a Miami fan. You know, it's like all the shit we've dealt with for years, since day one, it just seemed like everything went wrong, and it all built up into this moment now. And seeing that happen was a very cleansing moment for me.
And just like you said, it just felt like everything was coming together at that moment. Like when I saw the ball hit the back of the net and the smoke went in the air, I let out like the biggest vamos, and I was like, what am I saying right now? But it was like an explosion of like so much heartbreak as an Inter Miami fan come together in elation. It was nuts.
Yeah, I think that's what just made everything, it just made the night better, right? Like we are actual supporters of the club, right? We're not just like, we're not in Cincinnati, we're not in LA, we're not in New York. Like, we are supporters of Inter Miami, and we're day one supporters, right? Like, we've been here, right? It's not like we just kind of jumped on the scene, right? We've been here. So it just felt good, man. Like all the heartache, right? All the heartbreaks, right? It just felt good to finally see something go right. Like picture perfect right for this club, right? And so it was a fascinating experience. You know, I know AD, I know you said it was top two and it was top two and it wasn't the second, right? I mean, yes, you know, I mean, listen, I had my wedding, right, the birth of my daughter, right, and Messi, right? And
I want to point out that in our group chat, Jermaine said, like, oh,
about to get me in trouble.
No, I'm gonna get myself in trouble. Jermaine says, like, oh, this might be the best night of my life. Don't tell my wife and my daughter. I'm like, bro, can your wife or daughter bend it in to end it in the Leagues Cup game on a Sunday night? I don't think so.
No, they did not.
They did not.
No, they absolutely did not. Yeah, I mean, listen, this individually, this was the best moment of my life. Like, as an individual, aside from family, like, this was it. So unfortunately, as great of a night, as great of an experience, as historic of an experience that was, we also had some pretty incredibly crazy racist shit happen that same day. So earlier that day, man, it's still kind of nuts to even think about it. So earlier that day, I'm on the Twitters and I'm going through, you know, the timeline. I see DC United make a post, and the post is about, it's like an appreciation post. And that's what was nuts also. I was like, all right, y'all didn't even have to do this. This is strictly an appreciation post, right? So they do this appreciation post, and it's the All-Star game coaching staff, right? For MLS. And what initially grabbed my attention was the lack of diversity, right? It just there wasn't a lot of color in the picture, right? So I clicked the picture. I'm like zooming in. You know, we talked about those asterisks. You know, when we don't really know if you're black, if you're white, So I feel like there were one or two, you know, members of the coaching staff that I kind of felt that way. So I zoomed in, trying to get a little closer look. You know, then all of a sudden, I see this guy, this white guy, front row, and he's holding up the okay hand symbol, right? The okay hand sign. Now, of course, this okay hand sign has multiple meanings, one of them being most recently the white power hand sign. Keep in mind, we're in DC, okay? So when I saw this, I immediately reached out to my co-host. I immediately reached out to the different networks that, you know, that were a part of 2 Cents and Rose Room Collective. Shout out to Rose Room at over there at DC, and they all confirmed the suspicions, right? That this seems pretty intentional, right? So of course we went public with it. And I guess before I keep going, Cali AD, what was y'all immediate reaction when I sent y'all that picture?
So it was a little jarring at first because, you know, it's one of those things that like, at least for me, and maybe I say this as someone who's not black, so maybe things like register with me a little differently, but my first thought was, you know, someone can't be this stupid, right? Like, someone can't be this egregious and this intentional about what they're trying to do, because it, you know, you really had to zoom in to kind of see it, right? And you know, and but my thought is, it's like there's no way, like, you know, like, this is a grown ass man. Like, there's no way, like, you know, but whatever. So we put on our Twitter, on the Dreaming of Freedom Twitter. Like, we're not accusing anybody. And this is kind of a conversation we had a bit today over text. It's like, we're not accusing anybody, but we need someone to explain this to us. And of course, you know, us making that comment, it created this whole thread of conversation. And most people agreeing that, like, okay, like, yeah, this is clearly, like, a sign for white supremacy, and no one being completely accusatory right off the bat, but most people in, like, Rose Room Collective, including, were like, we need an explanation. And then, of course, there are the idiots that flood in and start saying, oh, you guys, it's just the okay. Like, have you ever played the Made You Look game, whatever? And our whole point, and I think AD said it perfectly in a tweet, is like, if it is, like, you're incredibly, if that is what you're doing, is you're incredibly tone deaf to do that. And some of the, you know, and everything happened how it happened, and we saw eventually that he was fired, right? And it dawned on me when we were texting earlier that, you know, the guy that, because they did an investigation and they fired him, and it happened pretty quickly. The guy never apologized, right? He never came, like, imagine if he would have just come out and said, like, or a team statement, or, you know, or him personally saying, like, hey guys, like, I did not mean that. I am really sorry. I didn't know what it meant. I was just playing this stupid game from middle school. I was trying to be funny. It went really out of hand, and I'm really sorry. If he would have come out and said that, or the club would have made a statement like that, even if it's half baked, I would have been like, okay, I'll give the guy benefit of the doubt. But nothing. Radio silence. So that tells me that this was incredibly intentional, and this was incredibly, like, it's because he's a racist. It's because he's a white supremacist. And you know, we try and, in the age of internet, in the age of Twitter, we tend to throw around words very, very loosely and just kind of attach it to anything. This is the literal encapsulation of white supremacy. You try and do it under the radar, and you do it unapologetically. You lose your job, and it's because I'm, you know, reason X, Y, and Z. It's not because I'm a racist, or it's because I'm a, you know, white supremacist. It's because, you know, so.
I think that's what, so, like, I had a, so that whole situation, I had a lot of mixed emotions while everything was happening, right? Because, again, as we crafted the tweet, it was like, listen, we're not accusing anyone, because we didn't want to just come out and accuse. Maybe that person was playing the Make You Look game. I don't know what grown man is doing that these days, right? But maybe he was, right? And so we wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? And so when news came out that Mans got fired, I'm not going front. Like, my first emotion was like, damn, like, that dude just lost his job, right? Like, because of our tweet, right? But then it hit me like, wait a minute. DC United did their own internal investigation, right? And they came to the conclusion, right? Like, they wouldn't fire the man if he was playing the Major Look game, right? They fired the man because their internal investigation revealed that, no, this guy must have intentionally put up that sign. And so then it finally dawns on you, like, wow, we had a real white supremacist, a real racist in MLS, just chilling, bold enough to do that sign at an all-star game. It's not just a regular, like a regular season game. This is the all-star game on the nation's capital. Like, I don't know how much more bold you can get, but buddy got there. And he got his ass knocked off, you know what I'm saying? So AD, I know you had a tweet kind of really breaking down the whole situation. I don't know if you want to talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was just seeing a lot of people replying to the tweet that the podcast put up, saying, "Oh, y'all want to get mad at everything." This is a game that we played in middle school and high school, grow up, and not everything is a racist attack. And I'm like, okay, sure. We might have been playing that game in middle school and high school, but we are no longer there. This man looks all about 30 something or whatever. Who's he playing this game with at the All-Star game? And him being as old as he is, like in his grown age, like you're telling me you've never living in DC, you've never heard of what the white power symbol is. We saw the article from the Washington Post saying that this symbol has been declared a hate symbol since 2019. I mean, there are people who have not heard of it, and I understand, but it's, if you are aware of it, to even be playing the Made You Look game in an official All-Star game photo like that is super tone deaf. And if you're a professional, like, and you're trying to keep your job as an MLS trainer, like, I don't understand why you're doing this. It didn't make any sense to me. And like you were saying, he just felt like he had the balls to just be chilling in MLS, putting signs up. And like the saying says in Spanish, he did it sin pena. He did it without any kind of, embarrassment for doing racist symbols in front of everybody.
In front of the world. And so I think the best thing about all of this is that we no longer have to guess, right? We no longer have to wonder if he was doing the okay sign, if he was throwing up the white, like, we know, right? The internal investigation proved that, right? And so to everyone, you know, to AD's point, to Callie's point, to everyone who was like, oh, you know, y'all are overreacting, this is the circle game, this is the Made You Look game, that's fair, right? That's fair, right? Okay, you know, prior to the termination of his contract, okay, we did not know. But if you're gonna give as much weight to the Made You Look game, why aren't you giving that same weight to the white power sign, right? They exist. They equally exist. So if you're going to say, no, it's not the white power sign, then we have the right to say, no, it's not the Major Look sign, right? And so whatever it is, we need an explanation, because that sign exists. That's all we wanted. That's all we wanted. We just wanted to make sure that these racists were not just out here thriving and surviving in MLS. We can't have that. Okay, we can't have that. So as Callie mentioned, you know, through the Twitters, you know, we have to continue to call it out. We have to continue to call it out when we see it, because these are the results. And if we don't call it out, then these individuals are going to continue to, you know, infect our league and infiltrate what we want to be, again, of course, the most inclusive, diverse league in the world, right? So mad scenes from DC United, and it did not stop with the athletic trainer. The return of Taxi, right? The return of Taxi. So if you didn't know, Taxi Funtas, I think is the DP, one of the DPs for DC United. He is returning from a previous racist incident. Okay, last season, which involves our beloved Inter Miami. Last season, he was accused by Inter Miami players, specifically Aimé Mabika. Shout out to Aimé Mabika. I don't know why we let that man go. But he accused Taxi for using a racial slur towards Damian Lowe. Again, shout out to Damian Lowe. Not sure why we let that brother go. Anyways, but Taxi, of course, denied those allegations. MLS came out a month later, right after the allegations, and said that which is really confusing. The whole MLS ruling was quite confusing. They said the allegations against Taxi, right, that Mabika made were credible. They said that they were credible. But then they said, we couldn't find enough evidence to punish Taxi, right? So we couldn't find evidence that Taxi used a racial slur, but the complaint or the allegation, the accusation is a credible So the MLS is trying to walk a fine line, and they did it pretty terribly, because the man's did not get a punishment. And a season later, on Friday, we found out that Taxi Funtas and Nigel Roberta, who we talked about last episode, shout out to Nigel, both got suspended from the team because, and this blows my mind too, Taxi racially used a racial slur against Nigel. Nigel put hands on that man, and they both got suspended. Okay, so what the hell is going on in DC? What the hell is going on with Taxi? Callie, I know you had some clever words for Taxi. Put his ass in a taxi. I don't know what you got to say about Taxi.
Unfortunately, it goes beyond Taxi, right? Clearly, there's a culture within the club itself. Because again, we look at Taxi's incident with Miami, and again, like you mentioned, it was so strange that they said, like, yeah, we can verify that this happened, and not only that, players on Inter Miami heard what happened. His own damn coach benched his ass because of what happened, and then he disappeared to Greece, and didn't come back to the team to the beginning of the season.
When you look at that video of the game against Inter Miami last season, you see Mabika visibly upset, like running to the referee, like because he just heard what Taxi said, and that shit went unpunished. But sorry, Callie, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, and again, MLS made their ruling. They did their thing. He wasn't punched by the team. They made him fuck off to Greece for a little bit, so I guess people can forget about it. And he's back. And then obviously everything that happened with the athletic trainer, I'm going to say his name is Reed Whitney. Everyone should know his name in case you see it pop up again, that this was a gentleman who was fired for what happened.
Facts.
And in the same day, we see that, you know, both Nigel Roberta and Taxi Fortunas were both suspended for, and again, the club didn't say this in their statement, but multiple sources and people who cover DC United say that Taxi said something racist to Nigel, directed towards Nigel. Nigel put hands on the man, and they both got suspended, which is a really interesting way to approach that. I, for one, applaud Nigel. You're welcome down here in Miami whenever you want. We want you here.
Please come. Please come.
And but again, this is something that unfortunately has kind of been continuous throughout the club, which is really strange considering the kind of the demographic culture of Washington, D.C. I mean, the Chocolate City, right?
Like the Chocolate City,
a historically black city. And I mean, I was in D.C. just a couple weeks ago, the week before the MLS All-Star event, and I noticed it. And it's not just a city with a lot of black people. It's a city that very much embraces its black culture, right? And it's not just D.C. It's the whole DMV area. Like, I'm talking, like, I'm going to small towns in Maryland where I thought, like, oh, this is, they're not going to want us here. And I'm seeing giant murals of black jazz musicians painted on the sides of buildings. Like, it's a community that very much embraces and celebrates its black culture. Black Lives Matters flags and signs all over the place. You know, pride flags, the whole nine. It's a city that it's a community that really feels like it embraces traditionally marginalized communities. So for the club to operate this way is really heartbreaking. And I'm hoping that change comes with this. Like, clearly, like, DC under the microscope with two racist events happening within 24 hours of each other. You know, it's sad, it's frustrating. And I think the tweet that Jermaine was alluding to was, I think they need to put Taxi in a taxi and send his ass to Reagan Airport, which feels appropriate for him, who's quite frankly, and put his ass on a delayed Spirit flight back to fucking Greece. So
make sure it's delayed. I don't know if Frontier is still operating, but shit, put him on Frontier. Goddamn.
any of those economy airlines that you're guaranteed to catch a delay and have subpar customer service, that's the one you need to be on.
Bro, you can't check a bag. Carry on only. just come with the bare essentials, bro.
No check.
Leave
bags
with the bare essentials, bro. I remember we were all there when we were witnessing that incident last season, you know, with Damian Lowe and Taxi. I mean, what are your thoughts on this whole situation?
It's surprising that nothing happened last season, when, a lot, like when the players saw the incident happen and reported it to the ref, and MLS said that there was there was evidence, but not enough to be able to make any moves from it. But you had word from Mabika, you had word from Lo, who the incident happened to, you had word from Yedlin and Callender, I believe. So there was plenty of hearsay or whatever from people on our side, and I believe people on from DC United. So just to see this man continue to walk in the same way that he was before and not learning any kind of lesson from last time, I'm just glad to see him get the consequences,
bro. And bro, sorry to cut you off. I'll let you come back. But that's the thing that pisses me off, right? It's like, this happened last season. Usually when these things transpire, it's like, okay, that person would have to go through some type of like sensitivity, diversity training or something like that, right? To kind of like, just so they don't do it again, right? But apparently none of that shit happened, bro. Like, none of that shit happened. Like, and it was allowed, and obviously because nothing happened, he felt empowered to do that shit again.
And to bring it back to when we played them at home this year, I don't know if you guys remember when Miami played DC, Taxi looked over into the crying hands to our bench.
Bro, fuck Taxi, bro. Like, fuck that man, bro. Like, bro,
I'm not confident that I can beat a whole lot of professional athletes in a fight. And I probably can't beat Taxi Fortunas in a fight, but I will definitely take a cheap shot at that motherfucker if I ever see him.
Yeah, let me not say something. I might get in trouble if I say something.
I'll say it. I can say it. I'll get away with it.
But Callie, you were saying, like, that it has to come from the culture of DC United. There's a saying that they say on the internet a lot is the calls coming from inside the house. Like, bro, the call is coming from inside DC United. There's something going on in the culture in there. And it's just now domino effect trickling out, and that they need to figure out what's going on, if it's from the top or wherever. There's a, I don't know, there's a leak in there.
And keep in mind, this is the same club that got fined $25,000 last season, right? When they failed to abide by the league's diversity hiring policy, right? Which requires all MLS clubs, like, when they're searching for a new head coach position, their finalist pool needs to include at least two candidates from underrepresented groups, one being a Black candidate, right? Now, that didn't happen in their search, which, of course, we know resulted with the hiring of Wayne Rooney, who, weirdly enough, was the All-Star coach, right? I don't know if that was because it was held in D.C. or if he was chosen as the All-Star coach. But either way, the fact that the subject of an infraction of one's hiring policy, right, is now the coach of your All-Star game, shows that obviously there's some problems in DC, but there's also some problems in MLS, right? Like, they have to understand that the optics of all of that, right, is problematic, right? That you're literally fining a club for breaking its hiring policies as it relates to race and diversity. And then the next season, not only is the All-Star game in that city, but the coach of that team is the the result of that infraction is now the All-Star game coach. So it's just madness all around. And so, yeah, DC has some serious race issues that they need to figure out. Again, shout out to Rose Room Collective, who continue to do great work over there, continue to call out the bullshit, both in MLS and NWSL. And so hopefully, you know, we can rally around them and rally around DC's Black supporters and, you know, underrepresented supporters, and really try and make that club better, right? Hopefully we made one positive step in getting, what's the guy's name, Kelly? Reed Whitney? Is that it?
Yes.
Reed Whitney. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we made a positive step in getting him out of the club. But of course, you know, if there's one, there's more. It's like cockroaches, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you see one, you know there's more, bro. So I think that's actually appropriate.
Yeah, there's a reason he was comfortable enough to do that.
That's it.
There's a reason he was comfortable enough to do that. So that means it's not just him. It means he saw it. You know, his dumb ass probably showed the buddies, oh, look what I did in this picture. They're never going to fucking see it.
And somebody behind the camera was probably laughing at that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying the photographer, but...
And that's another thing. Like, how many levels of clearance does that have to go through before it gets posted on social media? Because I've never ran a sports team, but if image is everything, like, we need people double, triple, quadruple checking this shit to make sure everything's above board. And I'm assuming... That went through a couple levels of clearance and it got thrown out there. Granted, they deleted it, which DC, with their history of just rushing shit under the rug, you know, they didn't do that. They at least deleted it, and then shortly thereafter, he was fired. But yeah, there's a reason he was comfortable enough to do that.
Honestly, you would hope that this media is going through a couple levels of clearance, but sometimes it's just, hey, social media manager, did you get that picture out? Yeah, I'm gonna get it from the photographer right now, and then boom, on social media. So we don't know how many levels of clearance that picture went through, but I know now they're gonna now put things in check where stuff doesn't get out unless it's cleared.
And the fact that it's an all-star game, bro, you're taking a picture on the nation's capital, bro, the National Mall, bro. Like, that shit should have went through, you know, double, triple, quadruple checks, bro. Like, come on, man.
It's everybody's just like, eyes are on you.
Everybody's eyes, bro. And literally everybody, especially considering MLS news, Messi, like, everyone is looking at MLS, bro. And this is what the fuck happens, bro. It's just...
It made you think why he was so comfortable sharing his white supremacy in front of the Capitol in Washington, D.C.
Some serious January 6th.
It brings out a certain level of whiteness in certain people being in front of the Capitol. It's like flashbacks, you know. Let me throw it up.
Yeah, some very traumatic flashbacks. Whatever. I mean, we could talk all day about how wild it was for that man to field that bold that he could do that, you know. But to Callie's point, right, he felt like he could do it for a reason. He felt comfortable enough to do it, right? Unfortunately for him, well, we got some freedom fighters, some freedom dreamers out here, right, shutting down the races. So, you know, that's it. Listen, DC, get your life together, do better. You really have to do better. This is the third strike, right? You had the Wayne Rooney hiring debacle. You got Taxi. Actually, this is the fourth strike. You got Taxi again, right? And now you got Whitney, right? Reed Whitney. So something's going on there. Figure it out. Get y'all shit together, because it's not a good look. And we know that Rose Room is going to come for y'all if y'all don't. So, again, just do better. And hopefully we won't see these events continue going forward. So AD Callie, we just wanted to kind of, you know, give y'all a reaction video of, you know, what happened this past Friday. I feel like too much happened for us not to talk about it. We may just kind of go back into our vacation for the next week or two and catch y'all in a few weeks. But AD and Callie, anything else you want to add?
I just want to add that I'm glad Taxi got punched, and I hope Nigel drew some blood, caused some damage.
Bro, Nigel's big, bro. Nigel's slow, bro. It looked like Nigel's connected with that, man.
Yeah, like, this other guy, Reed Whitney, I'm sure he'll find another job. There are people that think like him. He's going to be fine. They're like, oh, he's never going to work. He'll be fine. I promise you, someone's going to give that guy a job. He'll be okay. He's going to get another job. He'll go on living his fucking life. Taxi, I'm not a praying man. I don't believe in a lot of things, but I do pray to whoever or whatever is above us, that motherfucker got his shit split. That's all I got.
Man. I got nothing, man. Just send them both back on Frontier flights.
I don't even want to see them anymore.
Bruh, send Whitney and Taxi on the same flight to Greece, bruh. Like, I don't even know. Whitney probably has no relationship to Greece, but no. just send them to Greece, bruh.
We can really fuck with them here. Can we put them, like, on a connecting flight to, like, maybe, like, somewhere in the Caribbean, you know? So a flight full of black people just really set them off, and then they can go back to Greece. Just really, you know, one last gut punch before we send them wherever they came from.
That's a brilliant idea. Oh, Lord. So that's it for us for this episode. Again, we just wanted to take a quick little break to kind of respond to the recent events. We'll be back in a few weeks to continue our coverage of all things black soccer and MLS. But for now, we are signing off. See y'all next time. Peace.
See ya.
See ya. To bomb a clad black for them.